to Total Wealth Academy's GetTotalWealth.com radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, travel, charity, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money and were able to lead more balanced lives using real estate. Now, your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where we're always working on improving our financial IQ on this show. Total Wealth Academy is a education and coaching program for real estate investors. Our goal is to build a second stream of income that meets and exceeds our wants and needs, allowing us to quit our jobs if we choose to, or switch jobs, you know, whatever you want to do. Because if your bills are $5,000 a month and you've got $10,000 a month in passive income, you don't have to go to work. My past experience, though, over 30 years, is most people continue to work. They want to do something with their time. They want to help and serve other people. If you study the Dalai Lama, the purpose of our lives is to be happy, but there's a catch. Happiness generally only comes in the service of others. So if you're doing nothing, you know, this is why I can pick trust fund babies out at a bar. They're lost. They don't get it. You know, they were given a bunch of money. They don't work. They don't serve others. They drink themselves to oblivion. A lot of them get on drugs. It's easy to pick them out. You want to be helping and serving others if you're going to enjoy true happiness. I want to start the show off today and talk a little about delusion. This came up in a very odd way. I was with a friend of mine, and unfortunately, she's morbidly obese, and I was walking in front of her, and she made fun of my legs. I have huge arms from training, and when I was younger, like a lot of people, I didn't work out my legs as hard as I did my upper body. But it was just funny to me. The first thing that came to mind was, you know, people with glass houses shouldn't throw rocks. And I think that everybody knows that. The only reason I could figure is that she doesn't realize. She's delusional. She does not realize that she's morbidly obese and she's dying of obesity. She will die from the side effects of that if she doesn't lose it. And it just struck me how many people are delusional. There's a statistic, and I don't know how true this is, because when I say it out loud, you're going to go, that's got to be impossible. But it was a statistic that said, and I think it was either Seco Ranch or Katy, Texas, that something like 70% of married females are on some type of prescription drug. I was like, you're kidding me. That's another form of delusion, because 70% of us don't need to be on prescription drugs. No one's ever going to convince me that genetically 70% of us are so screwed up that we've got to be on prescription drugs. It's delusions everywhere. You know, I've told you this story before. I've got this friend I've known for, say, 10 years. I know for a fact she's gone through no less than 10 jobs, and she sat at a table and goes, man, I've worked for the same company for almost forever. I guess, you know, if she thinks 6 months is forever, that's true. But in her brain, she's successful. She's killing it. Delusion. Where it comes into the financial IQ is, I honestly believe that the reason failures are failures is because they don't write their goals down. They don't measure to see if they're achieving them, and they never give themselves a deadline. Remember, a goal without a deadline means nothing. Unfortunately, you can have the greatest set of goals written down, but if you don't give yourself a deadline, nothing's going to happen. Procrastination wins. It is human behavior. I can't really explain much more than that, other than procrastination is just something humans do. And if you don't give yourself a deadline, you'll never take action. But the most important part of those three things, writing down your goals, giving yourself a deadline, and measuring, if I were to say which one affected me the most, it was probably the fact that I measured everything. That, how about this one? How many of you know exactly how much money's in your IRA or 401k? You could tell me. If I said, what's in your 401k? Almost nobody. They don't want to look at it. One, it's depressing for most people, but they're in denial or delusion. If I don't look at it, it's not as bad. You got to measure everything and face the facts on everything. How did my friend become morbidly obese? I guarantee you she didn't weigh herself every week. Guarantee it. Because she would have noticed. Measuring to see, and that's the other problem. You know, if you set a goal that can't be measured, your chances of succeeding are almost zero. Now, I don't know what in the world you couldn't measure, but if there's no way to measure it and you don't give yourself a deadline, that goal is just a wish or a dream. Nothing's ever going to happen. You got to give yourself a deadline and mean it, and you got to be able to measure it and then have the courage to measure it. And like I said, I sit down with people. They go, I want to be a passive investor. I go, what's in your IRA? They go, 100 something? And then we go pull it up. It's like 180. They didn't even know. There's a lot of people that when they get their IRA reports at the end of the year, they don't even open them. All right, we'll talk more about this when we come back from the break here on the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I'm also going to talk about the new standard for flipping. The prices are going up, and so are the values that we're flipping. Thanks for listening. We'll talk more after the break.
Catastrophes happen in the U.S. and around the world on a regular basis, causing tremendous financial difficulty for those unprepared. However, some people are prepared. These are the people with a second stream of income. This month, we are offering a free 2-hour sample class on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for you and your family. For reservations, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free class button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and open the phone lines because I'm going to be hitting multiple subjects. So if you have a question that's not quite on the subject, it doesn't matter because I'm going to be all over the place today, I think. Give me a call at 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. And this can be any question that you have about maybe some real estate you own, or you're thinking about buying your first property and you have a fear or two. You may say, I'd love to buy real estate, but, and then whatever comes after that, but, you know, but I'm afraid of tenants, but I'm afraid of mortgages, but I'm afraid of down payments or whatever it is. Give me a call, please, because I guarantee you whatever fear you have is false. But I got to warn you, if you believe something, it doesn't matter if it's false. It will control you just as effectively as if it was true, just as effectively. So give me a call. Let's work through those beliefs, those fears, those concerns together and get them knocked out so that you can move towards your goal of building a second stream of income. It's asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. Okay, so we're talking about measuring and how important it is to measure and have deadlines and have your goals written down. Just so you know, or I may have said this earlier, I believe that probably, I don't know, 80% of my success or effectiveness is because I always had my goals written down and I had specific deadlines. You know, when I turned 27 and they cut my pay by 20 grand a year at work, and I said, man, 40's old. I got to get rich now. I literally believed that 40 was old. And to a degree it is. You're halfway there. 2 times 40 is 80. But it was that fear and that weird deadline that I gave myself, got to be rich by 40, that allowed me to quit working by age 30. I wasn't rich yet, but I was able to do what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, where I wanted to do it, with who I wanted to do it, and so on. So, and then I constantly measured. I was not afraid to look at my checkbook. I was not afraid to look at my savings. And those of you who are, you really need to face it. Because it's motivating. You say, well, I don't like looking at my 401k and IRA because they go up and down. But that should be motivating to get that money out of something that goes up and down like that and into something like real estate. Use it to motivate yourself. Wait. Weigh yourself every week. Not every day. Once a week. Watch it. Your romance, measure it. Travel, vacations, because that is part of a balanced life. You know, I talk to people all the time, they go, I haven't had a vacation in 5 years. That's freaking unhealthy, psychologically and physiologically. It's unhealthy. You got to be cautious. Say, I need 2 vacations a year. I need 3 vacations a year. Some people need more. To really stay centered and healthy psychologically. Then exercise. Measure it. Are you getting the 3 days a week? You know, and my thing is I shoot for 4 and usually hit 3. But my real goal is, guess what? 3. So sometimes it's a good idea to set your goal beyond what you really want. Because you're going to miss, but you still hit where you truly want to be. I think it's the American Indians have that thing. If you always shoot for the stars, because if you miss, you hit the moon. Never shoot for the mountaintop, because if you miss, you hit a turd. You got to think like that. Set your goals high. You even need to set your goals beyond what you think you can do right now with your current knowledge level and with the current tools that you have. Napoleon Hill put it this way, begin wherever you are with whatever you've got now, and better tools will appear. And that has proven true in my life over and over and over again. And I've witnessed it in my members' lives. People who come in and set goals that I have no, I sit across the table going, there's no way. And they do it. Did I ever tell you I love to be wrong? Can you imagine in that scenario how good it feels to be wrong? We had a guy come in and he had rolls of quarters to pay his $500 to join. I thought, good Lord, I'm not going to tell him he can't succeed. I'm not going to make that decision. So I'm going to let him join. This guy went on to buy dozens of houses, two or three little apartment complexes. He proved me wrong, and I loved it. Well, this girl comes in. I'm going to flip houses, and I'm going to buy apartments. I'm like, okay. She just didn't seem, and I guess I'm being judgmental. I'm almost embarrassed that I'm saying what I'm saying. But I didn't believe it till she freaking did it and proved me wrong. And I love it. And this is why I never turn down anybody. Anybody that walks through that door of my office, if they say they want it, they get it. I will never, ever tell somebody they can't do what they believe they can do. Because you're going to get proven wrong. If they truly believe it, they're going to do it. Just like if you truly believe it, you're going to do it. You know, the old phrase, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. But don't ever stand in front of somebody who thinks they can, because they are going to do it. So get your goals written down. Make sure you've got a deadline for each one of them and measure on a weekly and monthly basis to see if you're moving closer towards your goals or away from them, away from them. So the next thing I want to talk about is what I mentioned in the right before the break. Flips are changing. We had been doing really $400,000 homes and below and making anywhere from $25,000 to say $55,000 profit per deal. Well, a couple of members join. They take my class. They ignore me. Well, they took everything away that was valuable, but they ignored me on the $400,000 or below house, and they went out and did $1.1 million, $1.2 million homes. Well, they're walking away with $200,000, $300,000 profit per deal. And what they're doing is they take $200,000, say they make $300,000 on a flip. They take $200,000 of it and go invest passively in a couple of apartment complexes or self-storage or a hotel or something like that, leaving them $100,000 to now be able to flip two houses at once. They're scaling their business. It's phenomenal to me. It's super exciting, just amazing. So who I'm really talking to are the members right now, but even if you're not a member, if you're flipping, I believe that it is a safe environment for the next 6 to 9 months to hit those high-end homes. The parameter I would like you to have is your all-in price, purchase price, rehab, holding costs, is 70% ARV. 70% ARV. That way, if the correction sneaks up on us and comes quicker than we're thinking, you can lower the price by 30% and liquidate that property. Yeah, you didn't make anything, but you didn't get stuck with it. What I don't want to see is people going in at 85% and going, well, I'm going to make I'm all in at 850 and it's worth $1 million. So I'm going to make 150 grand. Well, if the collapse comes and that thing goes down to 700 grand, you're stuck. You could get hurt financially. And I want to make sure that's clear. If anybody listening, if I went too fast or I said something wrong, call me, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. What do you make a year? Is it 70? Is it 150? Do you realize if you flip one house and make 300, you've made 2 or 4 years' pay? One a year. All right, we'll talk more after the break here on the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. You're listening to AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thanks for listening.
Do you dream of a better life for you and your family? Do you want more time with the family? Would you like to be less dependent on a job for your income? Would you like to travel more? The solution is simple. Build a second stream of income. We can show you how. We are offering a free 2-hour sample class on how to use real estate to build a second stream of income for you and your family. To reserve a seat, visit gettotalwealth.com and click on the free class button at the top of the page. That's gettotalwealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the gettotalwealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where we're talking about the types of flips that we're doing. Now, I don't want to give the impression that all the flips are high-end. There's still, I would say, 30 or 40% are down in the $250,000 to $400,000 range. But those are, you know, to me, it just makes sense to move up when we've got prices going up. And I think it's going to happen for a little while longer. Just as I said, make sure you got that 30% buffer in case, you know, the collapse in China, which is spreading. If you're not familiar with this, Evergrande, I think is how you say it, defaulted on $300 billion worth of loans. And that company's collapsed. They're tearing down buildings that were half built. I think it was 15 buildings. And you got to understand, these are like 30, 40 story buildings. They just demolished them, blew them up. It wasn't even worth it to finish them. That's how bad it is. Then there's another group, I think it's called Fantasia, that it is in extreme financial difficulty as well. And I don't know, but I doubt seriously the Chinese government is going to bail these guys out. I think they're going down. And it's already affecting stock markets across Asia and Australia. And there's a lot of predictions that it's going to move all the way to Europe and then eventually hit the United States. So it could come quicker than we think. But I really believe if you're all in at 70% or below, that includes realtor fees, holding costs, everything, that you're going to be very safe because you can liquidate that thing at 30% off. And if you got a perfect house, it's going to sell, which obviously you would since it's a flip, but really we do that with our rentals as well. Let's take an email question right now. And this is about a long-term property manager from Abby. Abby, you didn't let me know how many units you own. So let me just tell you some rules that I use. 20 units or below, I really don't think you should use a property manager. I think you should suck it up, learn how to deal with them, manage them yourself. You're obviously going to make, you know, $2,000 more per month than if you hire a property manager, because a property manager is going to cost you about 100, $150 a month. So it's going to be between $2,000 and $3,000 a month less that you're going to make if you've got 20 houses. And if you knew what was in my Saturday class, you would have no problem running those 20 houses at all. It took me about 6 hours when I had the 20 unit portfolio. It took me 6 hours a month. And that was about $7,000 or $8,000 a month profit. So for 6 hours work, I made $7,000 or $8,000. Love it. So please consider running them yourself. If you're having trouble, then you need to take my Saturday class. It's only $500. Take my Saturday class and I'll show you how to run those things. If you don't choose my Saturday class, choose somebody's who specializes in single family rental, because it is not intuitive at all. A lot of people think, you know, you just sign a lease and take care of their phone call. That's not how you do it. You've got to know how to address the phone calls. You've got to know how to react to an irate tenant. There are professional best practices for all problems associated with managing property. But if you don't know them, you're going to make mistakes. And some of those mistakes can get you sued. So, Abby, please consider taking my little $500 Saturday class. I'm teaching one this Saturday. I only teach it once a month. If not me, somebody else's. Now, with all that said, if you still want a property manager, I say mynd.co, M-Y-N-D, M-Y-N-D.co. Mynd, and I think it's under $150 a month, runs your property and even guarantees your rent. Guarantees it. It's top of the line. I think they have things around 100 a month where they just manage your property and don't guarantee the rent. But that's worst case scenario, 150 a month, and they guarantee the rent. So check out mynd.co, mynd.co. Okay, getting a couple of emails now. This is from Tim. He's wondering if there's any rental app as easy to use as Cozy. That happens to be my favorite, Tim. Cozy is my favorite. So I don't think there's any that are easier. And there's a few that are more expensive that have what I consider useless benefits. Cozy has everything that you need to keep your records, keep track of your tenants, get your payments, and gives you that report at the end of the year so your taxes are easy to do. No, I can't think of anything better than Cozy, Tim. I think you should stick with it. Let me read further into this. Wow. Yeah. And you've got 5 years experience with Cozy. I think you should stick with them. Absolutely. Okay, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. This is from a member, Kelly. Kelly, you're asking me for a contractor. Remember, the vendor list is inside the members area. Just go to gettotalwealth.com, log in as a member, click on the vendor list, and you'll find five or six general contractors there. If this is your first rehab, make sure you get at least two bids. And don't forget to put a penalty in if they're late. The penalty, just take your holding costs, divide them by 30, and if that comes up to $100 a month, then if your contractor doesn't finish on time, it's $100 a day. That way, they're eating the holding costs. Now, Kelly, I always give them a week or two. If they say it's going to be done in 7 weeks, then I say, okay, at the end of the eighth week, in other words, I'm giving them an extra week, but at the end of the eighth week, if they're not finished, it's $100 a day. This is a requirement. Do not deal with any contractor that won't agree to that. It's just, it's not worth it. It means they don't even believe in their own timeline. Then, of course, if it rains, if they've got legitimate reasons they can't work, you add that to the 8 weeks. Now, what if it's a three-month project, not a month and a half? If it's a three-month project, I might give them 2 extra weeks, but nothing more than that. And again, the penalty should be equal to or higher than your holding costs, which would be your taxes, your insurance, and interest. Taxes, insurance, and interest. Add those up, divide it by 30, and that's what you charge per day. Okay, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Let's see, there's one more email. Yes. This is from a Steve. Huh. Mailing list. Subject line. Oh, when you're looking for property, distressed property is always the best. In fact, you're not going to get a good deal on a property that's not distressed. The best source that I've got is Real Estate IQ. Real Estate IQ. And I think it's .co as well, or it may be org or something like that. But look up Real Estate IQ, Google it, and you'll find them. They can find you foreclosures, deaths, divorces, moving, and even lazy landlords. Landlords that just want to sell because they didn't know what they were doing. So check that out, Steve. Real Estate IQ. Real Estate IQ. I think the service is only about $135 a month. So what's that come out to a year? Let's say $2,000. You only have to do one deal a year to pay for that. Way more than pay for that. It's a great deal. So check it out. No, we do not own any part of Real Estate IQ. Okay, the next. Wow, these emails are coming in. If you got a question you want to, give me a call. It's 281-558-5738. 281-558-KSEV. Jane, this question is interesting because there's so many answers. Can you buy another house after you just refinanced your primary? The answer is absolutely, unless you destroyed your debt to income ratio by refinancing too much on your primary residence and you're not using it to buy income producing assets. We'll talk more about this question when we come back from the break here on the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis. You're listening to AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thanks for listening.
Did you know that real estate makes money in both the up and down markets? In fact, we make more money in the down market. Hi, this is Steve Davis, host of the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Yes, we're hoping for a down market, and you should know why. To find out, attend our free 2-hour free sample class. To reserve a seat, visit GetTotalWealth.com and click on the free workshop button at the top of the page. That's GetTotalWealth.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the GetTotalWealth.com radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where we're answering a lot of listener emails. And these are very basic questions. I hope I'm doing a good job answering them. This one in particular, though, does have some complexity to it because the answer is absolutely you can. I've bought 2 or 3 houses at the same time. The concern, because you refinanced your primary, is what did you do with that money? Did you do a cash out refi or did you just refinance what you owed on it? If you just refinanced what you owed on it to get a lower payment, you're perfectly fine. But if you refinanced and took out a bunch of cash, you know, that then that payment went up, that could mess with your debt to income ratio. Other than that, I think you're perfectly fine, Jane. The best person to ask is going to call your mortgage company, not your bank. Remember, a true investor, real estate investor, mortgage company. Call them, tell them what you did, get a pre-approval letter, and they'll tell you, yeah, Jane, you can buy two or three more houses, or no, you can only buy one more house at this point, whatever the situation is. But make sure it's a true real estate investor mortgage company. Don't call Wells Fargo or Bank of America. They're not going to be able to help you. And if you don't have access to mortgage companies like that, well, guess what? You need to join a real estate investor group so you can find them. Okay, let's go to, we got one, no, two more now. If you got a question for me, you can call me at 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. Okay, this is from a high. Okay. Okay, this is actually trespassing. What happened was you have a garage apartment and you lease the garage apartment to this guy. Then while your contractors are working there, I guess the doors were unlocked, he came into your house. The next question is going to be, were you there? Did you invite him in? I'm assuming you did not. I'm also assuming you weren't there. It was just your contractors. You know, I'm not sure why you're worried about it. Maybe something's missing. But that's trespassing. So your remedy would be, if you want to go after him for trespassing, I just can't imagine doing that. I would just have a word with him and say, please, when I'm not home, do not go into my house. I don't believe it's a breach of his lease at all. It's just flat out trespassing. So if you want to go after him, do so. But hi, I just don't think that's the right thing to do unless he stole something or whatever. He may have just been curious about what type of work you were doing. Maybe he doesn't have, what would that be? Couth? That's probably not the word. To go into your house without you being there, without your permission. But he may have just been curious, you know. He just wanted to see what cool things you were doing to the house. I wouldn't put too much weight on it unless he does it over and over again. I would let it go with just a, hey, please, when my contractors are there, stay out of the house. You could get injured. You could distract them. Please stay out of my house when I'm not there. Okay, hope that helps. But if you do want to pursue it, you're going to have to call the police. Okay, seeking advice on short-term rental. Brian, the first advice is don't do short-term rentals unless you're talking about Airbnb. Yeah, this is an Airbnb question. I didn't scroll down far enough. This is a nightmare story where he rented it and they had a party there. As I understand it, you've got his credit card information and he's responsible for that damage, but irritating your neighbors is not something you can do much about other than to call them and apologize, or go by their house and apologize, bring them a bottle of wine or something, and like I said, apologize. Sorry I couldn't be more help on that in that situation. All right, let's go to the phone lines now to Seabrook and talk to Mike. Mike, thank you so much for calling in. How are you today?
Oh, doing great. I've enjoyed your radio show for a very long time. I thank you for it.
Thank you. How can I help?
I'm a landlord. I've been renting a house for 2 or 3 years. and the lease was up on October 8th, and I didn't realize it. So now I'm asking him to sign another lease, and he's hem-hawing around and saying, well, I'll think about it. What should I do from here? Because I can't have him go month to month.
Yeah, I'd go ahead and give him 30-day notice to move out. It sounds brutal, but that's the only option you have, Mike. You say, look, I'm not going to, you know, in a friendly way, I'm going to tell you exactly the tonality to use. Let's say his name is Fred. Hey, Fred. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you don't want to sign a lease, I don't want to lease this without a one-year lease. So I'm going to need you to go ahead and move out. I guess that's what's going on anyway, because you'd sign a lease if you were planning on staying. If you don't want to stay, so you don't want to sign a lease. So, yeah, I'll get you that 30-day move-out notice here in the next few days. And that's all okay. You say. You're not mad at him. Don't get mad. Don't get irritated. It's just business. And move forward, Mike. Get him out of there.
Yeah, it's my mistake, but he's getting later and later on the rent. So he's probably ready to take off anyway. So.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to stiff you on the last month. So I'd get him out of there. The quicker you get him out of there, the better.
Yeah. Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thanks for giving me the courage to do those things. I know a couple of years ago, I was letting someone be late on the rent all the time, and he's like, that's no way to run a business. Day three, give them the eviction notice, and it's worked for me since. So,
Congratulations. And the funny thing is, if you're just nice about it, it's like, oh, I'm not mad at you. I love you. You've been a great tenant forever. But, you know, I got a mortgage. I got taxes. I got insurance I got to pay. I just can't have somebody in here that can't pay. Here's your 3-day notice. Have a good day. See you later.
Right.
All right, Mike. You take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's the same thing on maintenance calls. You know, I know people, I joke about this all the time because it's so darn funny. They get a maintenance call. AC's out. It ruins the next 3 days of their life. They complain about it to their wife that evening. They complain about it to their coworkers the next day. They're still talking about it 2 days later and complaining and moaning. Here's how you take a maintenance call. Ring, ring. Hello. Oh, really? Your AC's out? I am so sorry. My goodness. Give me 2 minutes and I'll have my AC guy call you to set up a time to come look at it. You know, it's already 5 p.m. I doubt I can get somebody in there today, but I'll get him to call you within the next 5-10 minutes. All right. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Click. Call your AC guy. Tell him to get in it. Then instead of telling your wife all your problems, just say, honey, can I have another beer? And move on. Okay, let's go to Southwest Houston now and talk to Barry. Uh-oh, this could be an interesting question. Barry, thanks a lot for calling in. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question. You know, you're recommending to get to purchase between 150 to 250
yes.
range. And how, you know, the rental for that, you know, kind of property, you won't be go above 1600, you know, more maybe 1650 or so in Southwest area. So how are you going to break after you're paying insurance, tax, and all that?
Barry, all of my properties, they leased between 1500 and 1850. So I'm not sure where you're getting your numbers from or what part of town you're in. But they should be getting $1,500 to $1,850. A $250,000 house should never lease for less than $1,850.
But is that, would you get anything, you know, it's low because you're paying
$300 to $400 a month cash flow if you do the deal right, Barry.
Oh, you got like $400 cash flow?
$300 to $400. Yeah, after principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and $200 for maintenance and vacancy. Hey, Barry, email me because we got to end the show. It's asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. Asksteve@gettotalwealth.com. And I'll share with you how I'm buying them. I'm not paying $150 or $250 for them. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
The GetTotalWealth.com radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decision. To find out about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit GetTotalWealth.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.